Hi, welcome to a new series of podcasts from Jubilee United Church. I'm Reverend Norm Seeli, and before we get started, I gotta make sure that I thank Drew Winters for writing and recording the music in this podcast. What you're about to hear right now will be a short meditation on John's Gospel. Now, I originally recorded these for a video series on my YouTube channel. The channel is simply called Norm Seeli, if you want to go looking. But I've tidied them up a little bit for audio, added this intro, a little music, all so that you can wander along with me without having to look at my face. And wonder is the key. See, all that I'm doing is reading John's Gospel a little bit at a time and wondering in the moment about what I've just read. What it means to me, here and now. You see, I'm convinced that Scripture is dynamic, and it's one of the ways that God speaks to us. And if those words aren't quite right for you, let me say that Scripture allows us to access the holy in our present context. But to do it, I believe we have to engage it. We have to wonder about it. We have to disagree with it sometimes. We have to push at it. It's not about memorizing a magical text. It's about talking to that text. It's about hearing the story and going, that sounds familiar, but I'm not sure. I don't like this. I understand that. It's that engagement. And I hope that you don't always agree with my wondering. I hope that you can forgive me when I get a little preachy. But mostly, I hope that you will call someone up and tell them the story that I've just read to you and wonder about it with them. Or at least, talk out loud to yourself. You can tell I'm pure extrovert. But I believe you kind of need to talk out loud because it's in the hearing, it's in the argument, it's in the discussion that we can actually experience the Word of God in Scripture. Oh, and one final note. Every now and again, you might hear a reference that seems dated by, I don't know, about 2 weeks. Or you might hear me repeat myself about wondering and engaging in Scripture. I do go on about that a lot. So I apologize in advance. But enough with the intros, enough with the apologies. Let's get on with the wondering. Here we go. John's Gospel. Just started yesterday, working my way through and wondering out loud. And I said yesterday when I read the first 18 chapters that I might, first 18 verses, that I might want to go back and look at them because they were just so full of imagery and so much to inspire wonder. But I'm not going to do that because I realized if the more I want to go back, what I'm really doing is I want to preach. And this is the struggle for me here, as I love this gospel. I have preached this gospel many times. I don't want to fall into preaching to you or preaching to myself. I want to wonder about this. So here we go. I'm going to read chapter 1, verses 19 through 28, just a little passage. We've been introduced to John the Baptist yesterday, and here he is again answering some questions. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." And then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now, they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me, and I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. So there we go. John the Baptizer. John the Baptist in Bethany. For a little context, as you read the other Gospels and even in John's Gospel, we are led to understand that thousands of people came to John to be baptized. John was leading a community that was growing, of people who were disaffected. They were not satisfied with what the faith was offering them. It felt corrupt. They were not happy. They didn't feel that their relationship with God was being nurtured by their traditional faith or in the way they were living. And so they came to this outsider and they were baptized. And understand, as John says, "I baptize with water." This isn't a baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is not what we as Christians practice. People came and they were dunked under the water and then they were brought out. John preached repentance, which is a turning around. So in a sense, his baptism was a symbolic death. You drowned and then you came alive anew, a new way of living, a new world, a new self. All right, but it was a symbolic act that helped you commit to living in a new way, repenting, turning into a new direction. And you probably know all of that, but I just think that context is important. John is a big deal for many people. When I learned about him in Sunday school as a kid and as I studied him in seminary, you're always taken with, well, he wore wild animal skins and he ate locusts and honey. And boy, did he ever shout down those Pharisees, "You hypocrites, you vipers." He would just lay into them. And so for me, John has always been a big fire and brimstone kind of guy and a wild and crazy man that you would probably be afraid of. But the skins, the honey, the locusts, all that really indicates is that he lived outside of the city. He is, in a sense, an outsider. He's not part of that corruption, that is celebrated within the urban setting close to the temple. He is far from the temple. And yeah, he yells and screams at the Pharisees. But as I read this, I don't know, I just suddenly felt that he might also just be laughing. Okay, so now you're coming out to talk to me. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. No, I'm not Elijah. I've never claimed that. Why would you think I was Elijah? Am I the prophet? Am I the Messiah? No. You know what I am? I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." Now, he could have leaned into those words in a very angry, aggressive way. I get it. But for me today, I hear him sort of just laughing. I hear him laughing and saying, you know, when they say, "Then why are you baptizing if you're not the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet?" He's going, "I'm just baptizing with water. I'm washing folks down. I'm not doing anything holy, except that everything that we do is holy." He's laughing that they don't understand, and they just don't have the lens at that moment to recognize that what he's doing is something that anybody can do. Okay, I think John is aware of his leadership and how important it is. At the same time, for me, John recognizes that he is a follower. He's a follower of one he has yet to meet, in a sense. But he's following God's agenda. He is playing a part. And I don't know about the first century, but I'll tell you, in the 21st century, very often leaders are held up as superhumans, as gods themselves. We deify them. Boy, we're not much different than the Romans. So we hold them up as the answer to all all of our problems, and I will fix this, they tell us. And we go, yes, fix it for us. John is a leader of that magnitude, but that's not what John does. John, in his leadership, announces that he's a follower. You know, I believe that real change, real transformation happens because of followers, not because of leaders. I mean, you can have a leader, that's great, but it's that first, second, third, fourth, fifth follower that starts a movement that makes things change. I have elders in my life from whom I seek wisdom. And they'll talk about the times that they followed somebody or part of a movement. You know, they were there to march and to protest at this place or that place. They spoke out for those rights. They don't talk about how they climbed the ladder of leadership and became famous in a civil rights movement. They talk about how they were part of something bigger than themselves. Those are the leaders that inspire in me transformation. But it's the followers that are important too. The idea of actually following and taking on the agenda of the leader, or here it's God's agenda. But that importance, and I find so often now, and I know I follow the news more cynically at 58 than I did at 18. Surprise. But I see leaders in the world, some of them obvious, some of them less obvious, and I see all sorts of people claiming to be followers, but they're not followers. They're opportunists. They follow the big blustery leader, meanwhile sticking to their agenda, getting their things accomplished in the shadow of the big leader. And it may seem that I'm speaking obviously about one country over another, but I'm not. I'm talking about all different countries, and I'm talking about communities. I'm even talking about churches, where I see all sorts of people who follow, but they're not really following. They're taking the opportunity to stand in the shadow of a leader and vent their anger. They're not really buying into a vision from the leader. They just find an opportunity to be angry and to spew whatever they have with them, or to achieve their goals that they've always secretly held, and they just sort of do it behind the leader. Transformation requires strong leadership and strong followership, if that's a word. People who are actually willing to follow and not be in it for their own self-aggrandizement, not be in it for their own agendas. And for me, here's John. Are you a prophet? Are you Elijah? Are you the Messiah? He could have given a vague answer, right? He could have said, well, that's what you say. Jesus says that when asked if he's the Son of God. He could have said, well, that's what you say. And some people would have been, oh my gosh, he really is Elijah. And he would have gained authority. Now, he would have found himself in conflict with the Pharisees, granted. He might have been accused of blasphemy for doing such a thing. But you know what? They're going to accuse him of that anyway. They accuse everybody of that when they want to get rid of them. But he doesn't do that. He simply sticks to the truth and says, who are you? I'm a voice in the wilderness just saying, let's just make the way straight for the Lord. Let's actually make it possible for God to be in healthy relationship with us and us to be in healthy relationship with God. And he sees the best way to do that as Jesus. And so whatever his agenda was last year, whatever his agenda was this morning, he's let that go. He is following God's agenda, which is to make the way straight for the Lord, to make it possible for Jesus. He prepares the ground. Now, there's a theological discussion we can have about the will of God, and I don't want to suggest that theologically that the will of God is dependent on those of us who carry out the ministry, because God's will is God's will. But God's will has included John the Baptist. And without John the Baptist being this kind of follower and preparing the ground for Jesus, well, then the Jesus movement, the way, doesn't take root in Jerusalem. It does require John to play his part. In the same way, if Saul isn't converted to becoming Paul and preaching to the Gentiles and spreading the gospel of Jesus through the Roman Empire, but particularly to the Gentiles, if not for that, I don't know that that I have a job today. I don't know that there's a church. I don't know that we know about the gospel of Jesus, if we know about the way, if we don't know about this unique insight into God that comes through Jesus, who I call the Son of God. I don't know that those things are true. I know it requires leadership, and it requires followers. And I see here in John both. There is humble leadership, but there is beautiful followership. I'm going to use that word a lot coming up. I like it. And it's what makes all of this possible. Now I'm wandering into a sermon. I can feel it. I've never preached this before, so I know I'm not repeating a sermon, but part of my brain's writing one because I love these words. I guess what I would be wondering, as one who has been called into leadership from time to time, and I am proud of the leadership I have provided more often than not, I am proud of it. But I also think about the times that I have followed. And am I as proud of those times? I can think of some times that I've followed and I am proud to have followed. But maybe there's opportunity for me to do some more following or share more stories with my children, with my friends, of times that I have followed, not just times that I have led. Yay, Norm was awesome. But in fact, that I have lent my voice, my support, my feet, my ability to hold a sign, write a letter, whatever I have offered. I wonder if I might not tell more stories about the times that I have followed and been proud of it. I don't know. That's my wondering for today. I invite you into wonder as well. Wonder about the times that you have been a leader and been a follower. Wonder about the power of following and what a difference it makes. Or maybe you heard something entirely different in this passage, and maybe you hear John as angry and not sort of chuckling in his responses, and maybe that changes it entirely for you, and you hear a different thing. I don't know why I felt a chuckling John the Baptist today. I just did, and that led me to wonder the way I did. So I invite you to wonder. I'm going to offer a prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for times of wonder. Thank you for the moments when you have inspired in us leadership. But thank you also, God, for the times that you have inspired in us the ability to follow effectively. To just let go and seek justice and love down a path that we might not have charted ourselves, but a path that needs us to make it well trod that others might follow. God, we thank you for the relationship between leader and follower. And God, we ask that we always find ourselves following you, that all of our agendas align with yours. We pray through the Holy Spirit and in Jesus' name. Amen. And friends, that's about it for me today, but until I check in with you tomorrow, please know you are not alone. Who you are, what you do, matters more than you know. God bless you. See you tomorrow.